I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. It is page 1013 in your pew Bible. We have lit the third candle of Advent. It is Advent season. We're looking forward to Christmas. Advent is the celebration of the coming of God to us in the person of His Son. This morning, I want to take you back to the door. Remember the door from last week? If you weren't here last week, let me tell you about the door. I want you to imagine a door, a huge door. It's 12 feet tall. It's made of oak. It is very thick and ancient oak. You can tell as you look at the ironwork on the door that it's a very ancient door. You clutch in your hand the invitation. You have an invitation from the King. And you've come to the door, and the King is Christ, and it is He who has invited you, and you've come to this ancient door, clutching that invitation in your hand and putting your hand on the latch made of iron. You can tell it's very old. You lift the latch. The latch lifts easily, and you push open the door. And as you open the door, you see the Lord. It's Jesus whom you see. Not in all of His glory and majesty with overwhelming light and brilliance, but it is Jesus in His humility and in human form. You see Him. And He says to you, come. And you start to come in, and then you realize, as you look down, there is no floor. As a matter of fact, you see clouds beneath you. And then you look again, and the Lord is standing in the air. And a breeze drifts through, and you are suddenly filled with terror. You have a fear of heights. And there is nothing. The Lord is standing before you and says, come. And you want to obey, but you're desperately afraid. The Lord is calling you to a hard obedience. I want to suggest that the first Christmas was a Christmas of hard obedience. And as Mary and Joseph obeyed, we are too called to obey. God had everything all planned. He had announced beforehand to the prophets that the Messiah was going to come. And now He was bringing His plan, His ancient plan, to fruition. And as He did, He needed the service of chosen ones like Mary and Joseph. And He called them to a hard obedience. Now I ask you to just follow as I... Did you see this in the paper, Dear Abby? Let me read this to you. Dear Abby, I feel like ending my life. What seemed like an ideal dream has become a nightmare. Only a few weeks ago, everything was perfect. I graduated from school with honors. The same day, my girlfriend and I got engaged. A week later, my father made me a full partner in his construction business. Everything seemed perfect. I was pumped up and definitely in love. Even my faith was at an all-time high. It all started falling apart one Friday when my fiancée met me after work. She looked worried, but she wouldn't talk about it. We went to a basketball that evening, but my heart wasn't in it. What was wrong? Didn't she love me anymore? Did she want to call off the wedding? Did she have cancer? We went out for coffee afterwards. She didn't say anything for a long time. Finally, she whispered the words I hadn't considered. I'm pregnant. And she broke into tears right in the restaurant. I was stunned. And then a wave of nausea hit me as I realized the horrible truth. Since it wasn't me, it had to be someone else. Who is he? I asked. Not really sure I wanted to know. She looked down. I can't tell you, she said. You wouldn't understand. I just want you to know that I still love you, and I want to be your wife. If you loved me, you wouldn't be pregnant, I snapped. Then I looked around and realized that people were staring at us. We left. I drove her home without speaking to her. I could see the pain in her face. I loved her so much that that's why I hurt so bad. That night I cried myself to sleep. I woke up the next morning full of questions. How could she do this to me? Didn't she love me? Hadn't we promised to save ourselves for each other? Who was he? How long had they been together? How could I not have suspected anything? Didn't she believe in God and his standards for us? I was a wreck. I went a week without seeing her or calling her. I couldn't. My head pounded, my stomach burned, I could not sleep. I was a mess at work. Then she came by one day at closing time. I've made arrangements to leave town for a while, she said. I think it's best for you and me and for our families. I'll be staying at my cousin's place. I must have had concern on my face because she said, don't worry, my love, I'll be in good hands. She gave me a slip of paper with a phone number and left. I haven't heard from her since. And that was 3 months ago. So what do I do now? I admit I still love her. I can't get her out of my mind. But I hate what she's done to me. To us. A friend of mine says we should get an abortion. But that's not right. Should I call her? Should I break off the engagement and forget her? Signed, Torn Apart Lover. The answer came, Dear Torn Apart, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's an attempt to help us to get into Joseph's skin. Joseph was called to a hard obedience. He was called to take Mary home as his wife, even though she was pregnant and he had not touched her. You see, God was calling Joseph to a hard obedience. But God helped Joseph obey. He did not require Mary to convince him. Can you imagine that conversation? If Mary tried to convince Joseph to marry her, to take her home, be her husband. Joseph, yes, I'm pregnant, but no man has touched me. This marriage is unique in history. I mean, this pregnancy is unique in history. I'm going to mother the Messiah. It's going to be the Son of God. He will reign over the kingdom of God forever. Can you imagine Mary trying to convince Joseph? God did not require Mary to do that. And God did not require Joseph to believe Mary. God sent an angel to speak directly to Joseph and to enable him to obey, to take that difficult step of obedience. You know, sometimes God calls us to a hard obedience. And he may be calling you to a hard obedience. You may be standing at that threshold. And Christ says, come. And there is no floor that you can see. And it requires, you're afraid. But you know that Christ is saying, come, obey me. Sometimes he calls us to a very difficult obedience. And I want to ask this morning if he's calling you to a hard obedience. It may be to invest your gifts in kingdom work in a new way. It may be to stick it out in a relationship or in a marriage that has brought you a lot of pain. It may be to forgive a person that has hurt you very deeply. It may be to make a big change of plans, even a career change. But you really are convinced that Christ is saying, come, and you want to obey in spite of your fear. To step across that threshold, to take that step of obedience in spite of your fear. It was not an easy thing for Joseph. God called him to a hard obedience. It was not an easy thing for Mary. God called her to a hard obedience, and they obeyed. Do you think that God is asking you to walk across the threshold that is too much? It requires more faith than you have, more perseverance than you can muster, more strength than you could ever have. It's wonderful to remind ourselves that the God who calls us to take those steps of obedience is the one who enables us to obey. God enabled Joseph. God sent an angel to help Joseph take that step of obedience in spite of the fact of his fear and his uncertainty. And he didn't forget Mary either. I'd like you to look at your Bibles in Luke 1, 39 to 45, that paragraph. Now, keep in mind that in the context, the angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary. The angel has appeared and has told her, Mary, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He will be the Son of God, and he will reign over God's kingdom forever. The angel has appeared, and Mary has said, may it be to me according to your word. And the angel has gone. That's the context. Now verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. All of a sudden, Mary was in a hurry. Verse 39. The King James uses the word haste. The NIV says that she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Why was Mary in a hurry? Why the haste? Pregnancy is a complicating thing for a young woman. This is an unexpected pregnancy, as unexpected as can be, in the sense that she was not married. She had surrendered her body to God, and God indeed had fulfilled his plan, and Mary was pregnant. Pregnant with the Messiah. And Mary hurried off to be with Elizabeth. Why did she go? Well, perhaps to avoid the stares of people in Nazareth. Perhaps to get away from Joseph and her family for a while. The angel himself had mentioned Elizabeth. Elizabeth, your relative, she who was barren and is now 6 months pregnant. So Mary is hurrying off to see Elizabeth. You can imagine Mary's thoughts. Elizabeth is too old. It's impossible. But all things are possible with God. The angel said that. I'm going to go off and see Aunt Elizabeth and share with her this experience of pregnancy and angels and miracles and God's work. And off she went, 3-day journey from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea. We're not given the town. And she got to the home. We can imagine her saying, hello, Aunt Elizabeth. And as soon as she greets her, Elizabeth is 6 months along. Elizabeth's baby, which is John the Baptist, leaps in the womb. And even in the womb, empowered by the Spirit, energized by the Spirit, the Bible, the text mentions the Holy Spirit in verse 41. John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus, and Elizabeth is pointing to Jesus too. She says, "How blessed are you," she says to Mary, "to be the mother of my Lord, the mother of the Messiah. How blessed are you for believing God." You see, as God had sent an angel to assist Joseph take that step of obedience, he gives Elizabeth to Mary to encourage her. She has taken the step of obedience. She has surrendered her body to God. And she will bear the Messiah. But Elizabeth is encouraging her and helping her along in the path of obedience. I want you to think about Elizabeth's ministry to Mary. The text doesn't say so, but I can fully imagine that Mary was alone and confused and afraid. Reading between the lines. Alone and confused and afraid. Coming to Elizabeth's home, she comes to a place where there is wisdom, the wisdom of God, where there is faith in God, where Elizabeth also is experiencing a miracle, the miracle of God's work. She's going to be the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist's ministry is going to prepare the way for Mary's baby, Jesus. But you know, there are a lot of people like Mary today. People who need us to open our hearts and open our homes to them in their need. People who are alone and confused and afraid and just need stability, need help. There's a lot of examples. I think of those who receive refugees from distant countries and provide a home for them and help them to get established in this country. Or I think of people who serve as foster parents and welcome a foster child into their home and offer them a stable home of love and help. Or I think of those who adopt children. Maybe adopt them from another country. We have a number of people in our church family who have adopted people, adopted children, some from other countries. And so a child who may have had a very uncertain future in another place is given a home, stability, faith in God, and given that care. Or think of hosting a foreign student for a semester. Giving a student a home can be a powerful witness and a way of providing help to someone who needs it. All of those things, I mean, that sense of stability and care and encouragement and the difficult path of obedience is what Elizabeth gave to Mary. I want you to imagine yourself in that situation. You've got the invitation in your hand. You've opened the door. The Savior is there. And he says, "Come." And you want to obey, but you are desperately afraid. You have never done this before. You lift your foot. You want to cross that threshold. You want to obey. Mary and Joseph obeyed. Mary had never been pregnant before. Something completely new. Never, ever in history had this happened. What God asked Mary to do. Mary said yes. Never had anyone done what Joseph did. Joseph became the protector of the Messiah. Mary became the mother of the Messiah. You may think it's very difficult to take that step of obedience, to see nothing but clouds beneath you and there's no floor and Jesus is there. It was difficult for Mary. It was difficult for Joseph. Sometimes God calls us to steps of hard obedience. What step of hard obedience is God calling you to take?